And it's Resurrection Sunday. Every Sunday is a kind of Resurrection Sunday because every day is a Resurrection Day because he is risen. That was a historical event that Jesus rose from the dead, but it's a present and eternal truth. A present and eternal truth that changes everything, that really makes everything possible, that has incredible and wonderful implications for our lives. Death is defeated. The grip and the grasp of the grave has been loosened. And the risen, conquering Son has been revealed. Revealed to us, revealed in us. I know how he wants to be revealed through us to the world, that all might know that Jesus is risen, that he is the hope of the world, that he is the conquering Son, and he is the great lover of our souls. He is the high and exalted one, but the one who comes down and reaches to us even in our most broken moments, bringing his love, his healing. He's the one who gives life because he is life. He is the resurrection and the life. Hallelujah. Let's get excited about Jesus. Let's just, you know, there's some things folk get excited about and they're not that exciting, but we want to be excited about Jesus because he's incredibly exciting. And there's so much more of who he is for us to discover, for us to know. It's just a wonderful adventure, this relationship, this walk with Jesus Christ. We're going to read a couple of verses of scripture. We put up the second slide, Ephesians chapter 2. Verses 8 and 9, really well-known verses, just at the key of what the good news is about. It says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest anyone should boast, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." This incredible gift of God, you know, if you've not received that gift of God, that gift of new life in Jesus, this is a day you can receive that. This is the day of salvation. This is the day the Lord has made. This is the day Jesus, the risen conquering Son, wants to reveal himself to you and say, "Come, find new life in me. Come, let go of all the old and embrace and receive the gift of life that I have for you." Romans 8, verse 11. This is one of my favorite verses in the Bible. I got lots of favorite verses in the Bible. Lots and lots and lots and lots, but this is one of the favorites. "But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life." Give life, give life. He will give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. We're going to come back to that verse just towards the end this morning. You've been looking over the last few weeks at the covenants that God made with people. Covenants that God made were always his initiative. He was always the supreme, the greater party in it. And he took the initiative. He also set the conditions. And we come now, as you think about the different covenants God made in the Old Testament with people, we come to the new covenant, which is also the final covenant. Because in Jesus, everything is absolutely sufficient and nothing else is ever needed. Nothing else needs added to it because he's done it all. But looking back into the Old Testament, we've got a verse coming up now on the screen from Leviticus 26. You know, there's great verses in Leviticus. There are. Some of my favorite verses are in Leviticus, and this is one of them. This is a description of covenant, description of what it looks like. God says, "I will walk among you." Isn't it great to know God's here with us today? The invisible, omnipresent, wonderful God, by his Spirit, is walking among us today. "I will walk among you and be your God, and you shall be my people. It's so good to be called his people. We belong to him. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt. Anybody ever been to Egypt? Well, maybe not in the natural, but in the spiritual, we've been to Egypt, and we've known the slavery of sin. We've known the slavery of things that have had power over our lives that we could not overcome in our own strength. And the Lord says, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of bondage, the land of slavery, that you should not be their slaves. And that's the power of the cross that breaks every chain. I have broken the bands of your yoke, says the Lord, and made you walk upright. The power of the cross to set us free, and the power of his Spirit in us that we can walk upright. Think about what that means for you today. What have you been bowed down to? What has had a kind of grip over your life? What has kept you feeling low or oppressed you in any way? God says, today, I call you to walk upright by the power of my Spirit that dwells within you. God takes the initiative. This new covenant, if we stick up the next slide, this new covenant. You know, we as human beings, we are created with the unique capacity for this covenant relationship with our Creator. But there was a problem, wasn't there? There was a disconnect. We've all gone our own way. We've all sinned in some way. We've all missed the mark. We've all fallen short. There's been a disconnect between us and God, which we can't fix. But God brings his initiative through grace and faith. Somebody said this, because the covenant is of grace, the human response must be faith. You see, when God established this new covenant with Jesus, there's no law. There's no set of requirements. He's not saying, if you do this, this, and this, then you'll be in covenant relationship with me. He's saying, I've taken the initiative. It's all been my gift. It's by grace. There's nothing you have to do except believe. There's no bargaining, only believing. How often people bargain with God? God, if you'll do this for me, I'll serve you in this way. God, if you'll give me this, then I'll do this. God does not listen to our bargaining. We have no bargaining position with God, and we don't need to have one because he's freely given us all things through his Son. Only believe. You know, when Jairus, the synagogue ruler, his little girl of 12 had died, and he came to Jesus, and it was too late. She had been really sick, but now she was dead. And Jesus says to Jairus, do not be afraid. Only believe. You see, Jairus could do nothing anymore for his daughter. Jairus had no bargaining power. Jairus had nothing. But Jesus says to him, don't be afraid, because there's only one requirement, believe. And the life God calls us to, it's not about you keeping rules and regulations. It's just about you believing in him. And when we take that step, then we can begin to walk upright through the power of his Spirit. So then there's the cross. There it is. The cross that deals with our sin, that deals with our shortcoming, that makes us righteous in the sight of God. Makes us righteous in his sight and seals us into a covenant union. God the Father, through the initiative and through his grace, he has bound himself to us in covenant. It means he's never going to let you go. He's bound himself, and as we'd simply believe, he will fulfill every promise that he's made, for he has committed himself to do that. And as Jesus died on the cross, you know, some people might say, why did he have to die? Could he not have done it another way? You see, covenant needs to be sealed through death so that new life can come. And when we enter to the covenant relationship, when we receive the gift of God, when we receive this new life, it's so important we realize that we need to die a death as well. We die to our old life so that we can fully live the new life. I think one of the greatest, it's really a tragedy, a way I see in so many people's lives as believers, that they try and have a bit of Jesus and a bit of the old life. They try and just still be the person they were and will add a little bit of Jesus in. And it never works. They're never happy. They're usually very miserable because they're trying to live this Christian life, but they're just absolutely rubbish at it. Here's the truth. We're all rubbish at it. Long ago, I admitted I'm a failure. I can't do this thing. I can't walk in the ways of God. The old life has to die. And stop trying to bring it back to life. Let it die. You see, when we get baptized, we go, boom, underwater as a symbol of death and burial with Christ Jesus so that we can rise to the new life. Why want to try and keep the old one going? It wasn't very good. No matter how much you liked it, it just isn't sufficient. Let the old die completely. Don't try and do it in your own strength. Let go of every ounce of pride you've ever had in yourself and just die to that so that you might live a truly new life in Him. That He's your strength. He's your power. He is your life. And so He brings us into this new life, a life of freedom. What are we free from and what are we free for? We've been freed from the destructive power of sin and freed for the obedience of faith, which Paul talks about in Ephesians 2, that leads us into the good works and the walking in His ways. It leads us into discovery of this incredible kingdom. So we're free from the destructive power of sin. You know, some folk, even in Paul's day, because he writes them in Romans, they kind of thought, because of this wonderful grace of God that forgives all our sins, well, it doesn't matter if we carry on sinning then, they said. And Paul said, absolutely not. By no means. Don't be crazy, he's saying. Because you see, the thing, no matter whether your sins get forgiven or not, sin is still always destructive. Sin is destructive to human life. Sin is destructive to human relationships. Always. So He sets us free from that destructive power, and He sets us free to live in this new life, to do the things that good works, more than that, even great works, the greater things that God has prepared. What has the Father prepared for you? There's a question to ponder this week. Father, way back in eternity, what did You prepare for my life? What did You think of? You know, it says in the Psalms that God's thoughts are very deep. They are really deep. And what did God think? God thought about you. He thought about the life that was going to come. He thought about you, and He thought about the things that He was preparing in advance for you to do. But you know, we can miss those things. So what was God preparing for you to do? Not just good works, more than that, even great things. Great exploits. As we follow Him, as we enter into this obedience of faith. You see, it's not obeying that makes the covenant. The covenant's made by what Jesus has done for us, and we just believe. But out of that, there's an obedience that comes from faith. And as we walk in obedience, you know, sometimes people think obedience sounds a hard word. Oh, to obey, it's so hard. But it's so hard if we try and do it from the old life. But when we become new people, new creations in Him, by the power of His Spirit working in us, obedience becomes a joy. Obedience is an adventure because God's saying, I've laid out this journey of faith into these lands of My kingdom that hold so much promise, potential, and possibility, that hold miracles and things that you've not yet seen that will be. But you need just to step out in obedience to My call in your life. An obedience of faith. And it's so exciting. We get to see amazing things happen through the power of the Holy Spirit. I embarked on that journey a long time ago. And I've stumbled occasionally on the way. But though you stumble, you will not fall down. And He takes you by the arm and He leads you on and He leads you on. And you explore these new territories. Over the years, I've been so thankful that God has led me in an obedience of faith, that I've seen things that I would never have dreamed of seeing. That I've begun to see some of the immeasurably more than what you ask, think, or imagine. So many things that I never thought of, but He had. He had. Obeying God's voice, obeying His word, it's just so exciting because it leads us into this greater discovery. And He's given us a partner to walk with, a lead partner, the Holy Spirit. You know, if you learn to dance, I've never learned to dance. I never will. Well, you should never say never, should you? But I guess if you're learning to do some sort of dance, you know, you need somebody that knows how to do it, and they're the kind of lead partner. And I just see the Holy Spirit, he's leading us in a dance. Because he's leading us in the romance with the lover of our souls. He's leading us a dance into the world to release the revelation of the wonder of who Jesus is. And he knows all the steps and all the moves. And we might stumble a bit and feel a little clumsy now and then. We might not know what we're doing. Anybody else like me, you don't know what you're doing half the time. But you just try and go with what the Spirit leads you to do. Helen and I have done some crazy things over the years. But now and again, they've been proved to be very right because the Holy Spirit was saying, do it. And they've produced great things. And we've got this lead partner, this senior partner. Just keep in step with him, rely on him, be filled with the Spirit. And enter into possessing the promises of the covenant relationship. Because there's great inheritance for us. There's great fruit for us. Next slide will take us back to Leviticus 26 again. And I really feel this is a prophetic word to us today. So if you've not been listening, pay attention now. Just before God said about I will be your God and so forth, he says, for I will look on you favorably. Isn't that good? God will look upon you favorably. Because you're his favorite. We all get to be his favorite. You can have more than one. He's got lots of favorites, and you and I are it. I will look on you favorably and make you fruitful. God calls us into relationship, but out of relationship, there'll always be fruit. It's relationship first, and the fruit has to flow from that, but he did make us to be fruitful people. And you know deep in your heart is not satisfied until you're fruitful in life. Until your life really begins to count for the kingdom of God in real, meaningful ways. God calls us to be fruitful people. And he says, I will multiply you. You know, the great thing is that when God looks at us in Jesus, he says, this is wonderful. This precious son, this precious daughter is just so wonderful. I want more like him and her. God wants more of you in the world. He wants to multiply you. As you simply put your faith in him, as you simply look to Jesus, and he's forming his greater likeness in you day by day, God says, I want more of you in the world. I wonder if you can sit today and say, the world would be a better place if there was more of me. I believe I can say that, not in any boast of myself, but because the Spirit of God lives in me. And because for 30-odd years now, Jesus has been working his likeness in me. And hopefully it's beginning to show a little bit. The Lord says, I will look on you favorably and make you fruitful, multiply you, and confirm my covenant with you. Now this is the bit for us. You shall eat the old harvest and clear out the old because of the new. You shall eat the old harvest. There's been old harvest. Many of you know Helen and I, you know as well. Some of you don't know us because you're newer to here. But we've been around for a while. We've been around in Scotland for a while. We were born here. But we've ministered around Scotland in a lot of different ways over many years. And we've seen some glorious fruit. We've seen people come into faith in Jesus. That's the best fruit, isn't it? Over the years in healing rooms, I guess over the healing rooms, we saw hundreds of people come to faith, which is just fantastic. I was traveling up from London one time when our son was living there. I'd been down seeing him. I was traveling back in the train moan, and a lady came and she sat in the seat beside me. She noticed the book I was reading, recognized, and then she recognized me. She said, "Oh, I know you. You're Stephen Anderson. You run healing rooms, aren't you?" And I'm like, "Yeah." And as she got talking to me, she told this wonderful story about her daughter who turned up at an event we had one day, and how she just got wonderfully healed. And you know, it's just so good. So often you just come across people and you hear things you were never aware of that God did. You know, so much the fruit of our lives we don't even know about. But God says you'll eat the fruit of the old harvest. You see, there's something of the old fruit that we've seen, which has only been a small measure compared to what's coming. And it's sustained us. It's fed us. We've eaten of the old fruit. And that's good because it sustained us through that season. But God's now saying it's time to clear out the old and make room for the new. It's time to clear out the old because the new is going to be so much more abundant. There's a new level of fruitfulness of the harvest coming. You know, God didn't speak to Helen and say, come back to Scotland because I want you to sit around. He didn't say, come back to Scotland because, you know, you miss the hills. He said, come back to Scotland because I'm about to do something of a greater measure. You're going to see some of the prophetic promises that you've carried in your spirit for years. You're going to see them start come to greater fulfillment. Clear out the old. You've maybe got some old thinking you need to clear out. You've maybe got some old level expectation that's way too low that you need to clear out. Because there's new coming. There's new coming. There's new fruit coming. A new level of harvest coming. Let's get ready for it. It's fun during worship to see more chairs get brought out. Because it's just a sign because there's going to be more and more and more and more chairs. Not only on just folks sitting in chairs, but there's going to need to be more room. God wants to strengthen his church and stretch his church. He wants us to stretch our tent curtains wide because there's a great harvest coming in. Clear out the old. What do you need to clear out of your old mindset, your old way? Even the old fruit, the old testimonies. I get lists of testimonies of the things we've seen God do over the years. They're fantastic. They're great reminders to me. They're great strengheners to me. But I know that the day's coming that God's saying, don't look at those testimonies anymore because you're just going to see testimonies before your eyes. Get ready for the new. Just believe. Indeed. And finally, let's go back to Romans 8 and verse 11. Listen to these words again. If the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, the same Spirit that rose Jesus from the grave lives in you. Can you kind of imagine what happened in the grave? You see, Jesus was filled, empowered at one with the Holy Spirit. And when he's in the grave, the Spirit of God cannot die. So he had to come back. It was impossible for death to hold him. One, because he was sinless and it had no right to him. But two, because the eternal Spirit is in him. And so death just has to cave in. And Jesus rises. And when we come to faith in him, he's put a deposit into you. He's given you the Holy Spirit. You need to keep on being filled with the Spirit. We need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit and released in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Don't shy away from these things because they're glorious and wonderful gifts. And we need them for the mission that he's given us in this world today. And so think of it now. The same Spirit, the power that raised Jesus from the dead, that's the greatest miracle that's ever been and ever will be. The power that raised Jesus from the grave, that saw death defeated, that saw Satan flee, that saw every power in this world fall at his feet, that same power that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. No matter how much you feel it, no matter some days when you get up and you feel really devoid of energy and anything, tell yourself the truth. The truth. The same Spirit that raised him from the dead lives in me. There's got to be some implications of that, doesn't there? That's got to have some implications. His presence in you, his word, frees you from what kills. You see, the Bible says the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. And the stuff that's been killing some of us, there's words that people have spoken that have been killing some of us. There's things that have gone on in our life that have literally been killing some of us. And the Lord wants to say to you today, the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. My Spirit gives life. What does the rest of this verse say? Romans 8:11. He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life. Give life. Give life. To your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. The great truth for eternity is that the eternal Spirit who lives in you will never be separated from you. So even though you die physically, you will live. Can't be separated. You're in a covenant. Union that can never be broken because it's God's covenant. The Spirit's been given, not loaned. Not for a while, he's been given. And he dwells, he inhabits, he remains, he will always eternally remain. Therefore, even though you die, you live. You have to. He gives life to your mortal body. But even more, there's got to be something now, because he's not just a future spirit, he's a present future spirit. He's present now. So there's something going on in us now. Even now, he's giving life. The words I speak, Jesus says, they are spirit and they are life. How many words do you hear in a week? I don't know. You maybe hear thousands of words in a week, tens of thousands possibly. How many words do you read in a week? But you know, when Jesus speaks, his word is spirit and it's life. We need to hear the words of Jesus spoken into us, because they give life, they bring life. They bring life to the dead things within us. They reverse the things that are killing us. They come and bless where there's been words of curse. They come and open us up to new things. And even now, the Spirit of God is giving life, giving life, giving life. And I think we just need to bless one another with that. In a world where a lot of folk aren't blessing each other, we need to be those who bless and therefore impart life, speak life, release life, bless our bodies, bless our souls, your mind, your will, your emotions, bless your spirit with life. And that giving of life is an ongoing process. Sometimes we see wonderful miracles of healing. Sometimes we just need the ongoing process of the renewing of the Holy Spirit from the inside out, giving life, giving life, giving life. You know, as God's people, his desire for us is to have life in all its fullness. Just keep receiving that quickening of the Holy Spirit in you for life in all its fullness. I'm going to tell you one testimony to finish with. This is of the old harvest. I'm winding my way out of this till we start just seeing the testimonies of the new harvest. But we had a lady one day came to one of our healing room trainings, and she was just so ill. She walked with two sticks, and she just looked awful, and she was in pain all over her body. And she told us that for a long, long time, she hadn't slept at all well at night ever. And there'd been just a terrible grief in her life about 6 years previously. And when we discovered that and just prayed into that and broke the trauma of that grief and released her from that, the Spirit of God just came and quickened and gave life. And she got up off the floor because she'd just fallen under the power of the Spirit. And she got up and just the pain had gone from her body. And I saw her 3 weeks later at one of our events, and she was standing there and she looked 10 years younger. The sticks that she had before were nowhere to be seen. I asked her, "How are you?" She says, "I'm just feeling so great. I've no pain. I sleep well every night. And all my friends are just telling me how amazing I'm looking." That's the Spirit who dwells in you and me, who gives life. Sometimes we just have to get in agreement with them. Stop listening to so much of the other stuff that we're told from this world and just get in agreement with the Word of God and the Spirit of God, and he gives life. So let's just close up. I think we're going to worship Ali, and we'd love just to bless you this morning. Helen and I and those in the ministry team, if they'd come forward as we're worshiping, and just love just to speak blessing into your body, your soul and spirit today. That the Spirit of God who is within you might be quickened within you to bring that fresh life that you might need in any area today. Just come and receive fresh life. And you know, if you've never come to experience that real gift of God, that gift of salvation, that gift of knowing that your sins are forgiven and Jesus has brought you into a covenant union with him, then you can come today and just believe. Believe and receive that gift today in the name of Jesus. So as we worship, ministry team and Helen, come down and join me. And then if you want to just receive just that blessing of releasing life, the life of his Spirit afresh, whether it's for physical healing, whether it's just to be freshly stirred up, whatever it is, just come and receive today in Jesus' name.